makeup, put your shoes on, take a breath of the northern air, and rub those eyes.
Jeff, you and I have been around the NFL long enough to remember when the NFL schedule being released was almost a non-event. People were interested, but you always got the sense back in the day, back in our day, that, hey, it'll be in the paper tomorrow and we'll kind of look at it and maybe pick out a trip. The NFL business has grown to the point now where paperwork is now a big deal. Putting out the actual schedule is a big deal. They manipulate the leaking of information for the weeks ahead to make that a big deal. And the other thing is that now NFL fans, and particularly Viking fans, travel in such great numbers that it is a big deal because people are already booking their hotels and their flights to go to London or Philadelphia or Green Bay. I can't even tease people for thinking the NFL schedule release is a big deal because it is a big deal now.
Everything's a big deal in the NFL. Yeah. It's a year-round business now. It's not like it used to be. When I first started, we never even saw the players until training camp in the off season. Now there's a 9-week off season program, a rookie camp this weekend. We did have one rookie camp and that was about it. And Bud Grant really didn't want to have anything to do with that either. He wanted to be hunting during that time or fishing. but things have definitely changed and it is certainly a year round news cycle, and which is part of the reason the NFL is so huge. However, I was kind of annoyed this year, Jim, with this piecemeal leaking of certain pieces of the schedule, such as, oh, the Vikings play at Philadelphia in week two on Monday night. Well, just give us the schedule when it comes out in totality, as happened on Thursday night, and go from there. And so having said that, I also feel like when the full schedule does come out, I think it is kind of a big deal because it makes it more real for everyone that there truly is a new season coming up. And you can, as you said, look at a few key games, and everybody, of course, obviously immediately looks at when are they going to play the Packers and the opener this year. Very exciting to be at home against Green Bay. However, conversely, going to Green Bay on January 1st, New Year's Day,
brutal,
may not be quite so much fun. And definitely what jumped out at me, that tough weather finish with the last two games on the road at Green Bay and at Chicago, two cold weather games. And so they'll have to be shoveling off some fields and practicing a little bit outside during that time, or else opening the doors at the indoor facility and get some cold air in there. But I think overall, in breaking down the schedule, it's really not too bad in terms of when they're playing certain teams at certain times and how it all shakes out. And I think that's a positive. When you look at, for example, there's six playoff teams from last year on the schedule. And now we know, first of all, there's going to be probably six new playoff teams this year, and the Vikings hope they're one of those teams. But it's an interesting situation when you look at the spread of those playoff opponents. And Green Bay, one of them, they play in week one and week 17, Philadelphia week two. So it is a tough start, but then they don't face a playoff team until Arizona week eight. They have a tough three-game stretch, weeks 10 through 12, at Buffalo versus Dallas here, and then Thanksgiving Day against New England. Though that's a tough stretch, but then things, they could conceivably have a pretty good stretch before they hit that at Green Bay at Chicago period. So I think the spread is okay. They start out, the first eight games are alternating home and away, until you get to that, the two games on the road back-to-back at Washington, at Buffalo, and then three in a row at home. So it's not a daunting schedule, but it's certainly challenging. And I think obviously the key for the Vikings and for any team is to get off to a decent start. And that's what killed them last year, getting off 0-2 with those two tough losses at Cincinnati and at Arizona, both really heartbreaking defeats, and overtime at Cincinnati, the missed field goal by Joseph at Arizona. And when they were 0-2, you're just behind the eight ball. It's hard to catch up. They never got over 500 the whole year. They got to 500, couldn't get over it. It's a tough hill to climb. And so I think it's really critical that they split those first two games that are going to be difficult. And I think that's going to be the big challenge.
You said so many things I want to revisit here. Let me introduce the show. This is Jeff Diamond's Vikings and NFL Insider. Jeff Diamond, of course, former Vikings and general manager, former NFL Executive of the Year. This is one of our football shows at TalkNorth.com, along with the Viking Update Show. Of course, we do all kinds of other shows as well. And we've added Dave Lee from WCCO, the famous radio personality. We've added Mike Grimm with the Go Gopher podcast. We keep adding really great personalities. We have outdoor content, and it's been a blast to do. So thank you for listening. Thank you to our producer, Brianne Burdett. And we do recommend subscribing to your favorite podcast app. That's the easiest way to listen. It's also free. You can subscribe to the entire network or just this show, whatever you like. And thank you to our sponsors, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, and TSR Injury Law, 612-TSR-TIME. You know, I was going back and forth on Twitter with Gary Myers. I don't know if you remember Gary. Gary was a prominent NFL and Cowboys reporter when I started covering pro sports for the Dallas Morning News. You know, he was kind of one of the first big information guys. I think he was on the HBO show Inside the NFL or whatever. You know, great reporter, and he always used to delight in breaking news on the NFL schedule before anybody wanted it out, because you know the Cowboys would always stage this big schedule release party for a lot of their biggest advertisers and all that, and Gary would always have it posted before they could even have that meeting. And this is so typical of the way NFL does things. Now they have all these billion-dollar partnerships. They have their own network. They have their own TV show. They have their own website. They have their team websites. They have, you know, very lucrative deals with ESPN, Fox, CBS, all these people. So they just leak enough of the schedule that they're getting covered on a daily basis. And, you know, Jeff, I've been dealing with media relations people and marketing people for a long time. This is exactly what I do. And I always say, if you have a good story, you want to make it a 2 or 3 day story. If you have a bad story, you want to make it a 1 day story. They make the NFL schedule release like a month long news event for themselves. It's brilliant.
Yeah, and who can not remember Gary Myers? First mm-hmm. of all, he was quite the character. But yes, I think you're absolutely right, and it's kind of comical how they make it work that way. And I don't even watch the schedule show when it happens. Of course, we had other things going on last night with hockey and whatever, unfortunately for the Wild. But it just kind of crazy how it just is leaked out here and there, whatever. And the London game with the Saints came out a week or so ago, and so yeah, they try to create this unending news cycle, as we said, and just kind of fascinating how it all plays out. Speaking of that Saints game, Jim, I think it really kind of creates an interesting schedule anomaly this year for the Vikings. And I know one of your cohorts over at the Star Tribune pointed this out, whether it was Ben Gessling or Andrew Kramer, about playing the Saints in New Orleans. First of all, it's a big advantage for the Vikings not to have to go to New Orleans, because it's a New Orleans home game technically. Yep. And so it becomes a neutral site game, which means rather than playing 8 road games this year, they'll play 7 road games and 1 neutral site game, which is an advantage not to go to New Orleans, to the Superdome. And instead of having 8 home games that they had last year, they have 9 home games this year because of the flip-flop. And so I think that's a big advantage. 9 home games, 7 true road games, and 1 neutral site game, and not have to go to New Orleans. That's a really kind of an under-the-radar perk for Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings this year when they approach it from that standpoint. And I think the other interesting thing, and we can talk a little bit more about the opener against Green Bay, and we all recall 2 years ago that horrendous opener when Aaron Rodgers just torched them in an empty U.S. Bank Stadium, and threw for whatever four or five touchdown passes, and Davante Adams killed him. Well, there's no Davante Adams in Green Bay, no Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and I think it's good news for the Vikings to play Green Bay early and even in the opener, because they'll be in a full stadium, which we assume will be 95% Viking fans. You can always hear the Packer fans, but the Viking fans should drown them out. And I think the other good part of that equation is that in week one, they should have Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith healthy at that point and raring to go in the opener. And so should be the Viking fans in US Bank Stadium. So that should help the secondary, whether it's Andrew Booth or Cam Dantzler at one corner with Patrick Peterson, and whether it's Lewis seeing the number one pick, or Cam Bynum at safety with Harrison Smith, going against the Green Bay's new receiving core that's missing Davante Adams and Scantling, Valdes Scantling. And so I think that's an advantage, especially to have Hunter and Za'Darius Smith potentially fully healthy to put the pass rush on Aaron Rodgers. And I think even going to week two, another team with a potent potential passing attack, even though Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, isn't the greatest passer in the league, but now they've got a dynamic pair of receivers in A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and playing on a Monday night. And so that's a tough matchup for a new secondary. And as we said, Rodgers tore apart the Vikings secondary 2 years ago when they were trying to start the youngsters at that point, Gladney and Dantzler, and Zimmer thought, okay, I'm these guys are ready for prime time. No, not quite. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think it's a bad thing to play the Packers in week one. And I think it also will get everybody's attention during training camp when you know you've got to be ready for that opener. You don't have the Jets coming to town.
Right. No doubt about it. I think you're exactly right. Getting the Packers in week one, when they have a kind of a new receiving core and they're trying to put some new pieces together, that's probably the best time to play them. Of course, playing them at Lambeau on January 1st might be the worst time to play them, but at least they have a chance at a good start here. Let's get into some more schedule stuff, some more news from around the league, and we'll talk about Tom Brady. We do want to thank our longtime sponsor, White Bear Lake Superstore, whitebearlakesuperstore.com.
Thanks, Jim. Always happy to talk with you about the White Bear Lake Superstore, Buick GMC, and my longtime friend, the owner, Paul Rubin, his general manager, Charlie Gattrell. They're a fantastic staff, Minnesota's number one value Buick GMC dealer, 6 years running with the best selection and the only place to get the premium experience. And check out that great website, whitebearlakesuperstore.com, that we always talk about, and you'll see 0% APR offers for 72 months on most Buick vehicles, including the stylish Encore GX, and 0% APR plus purchase allowances on the fabulous GMC vehicles, including the GMC Sierra 1500. The White Bear Lake Superstore also is the Quigley 4x4 Van Superstore, and the White Bear Lake Superstore Buick GMC is a certified elite dealer. Only 7% of GM dealers make the cut, so visit in person at 3900 Highway 61 North in White Bear Lake, or online at whitebearlakesuperstore.com for all your vehicle needs and the premium experience. Buick GMC, we are professional grade.
And thanks to our friend Steve Terry and all the good people at TSR Injury Law, our longtime sponsors and longtime friends. 612-TSR-TIME, that's all you need to remember.
We hear questions like these all the time. Can TSR Injury Law help me if I'm hit by a driver with no insurance? Yes. How about if not enough insurance? Yep. If you've been injured, it's TSR time. Call us today for a free consultation at 612-TSR-TIME.
How are you feeling about Tom Brady getting $375 million to do a job he's never done before?
Well, my first question, is anybody else sick of hearing about and from Tom Brady?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Now I mean, first of all, yeah, he retires, he unretires, he tweets nonstop, he does his Man in the Arena documentary trying to copy Michael Jordan's Last Dance, which I didn't watch a minute of it. And he and Aaron Rodgers, two egomaniacs, are going to take on Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen in a golf event coming up next month. And then the announcement that Fox Sports is hiring him to be their lead NFL analyst, which is ridiculous when he's still playing, and for an obscene amount of money, which reportedly 10 years, $375 million, which I don't believe that, which would be double what I think Troy Aikman is making, who's the highest paid analyst. And when did these TV analysts start making this kind of money? I guess Tony Romo was the first one, but crazy if they're paying him $37 million a year as a commentator. Now, I'm sure they'll utilize him for other stuff too, but Jim, I like Brady a lot better when he was seemingly much more humble when he was with the Patriots, and he talked a lot less and tried to stay more low-key. In fact, we thought he was almost too vanilla back then, and which, of course, Bill Belichick encouraged us among his players. But I would just say things really changed when he got to Tampa, and I would say for the worse with him.
Oh, yeah. What I wonder, if I want to try to be fair to the man, is can you be the most successful athlete at the most scrutinized position in American sports in an era of massive coverage and not become an egomaniac? You know, I just wonder, can you be Tom Brady and not be an egomaniac, even especially after leaving the Patriots, leaving Belichick, and winning a Super Bowl elsewhere? Is it possible? Can a human being handle that much success?
Well, I think if you look at people like Russell Wilson, maybe the answer is yeah, if you position yourself correctly and do the right stuff. And I think there are players that by nature are like that. And I just don't think this was Brady's nature coming out and early in his career. And it just seems to have, he seemed to have flipped a switch when he went to Tampa Bay and of course had that phenomenal season, but it's just kind of becoming nauseating. I gotta say, and too much like Aaron Rodgers, loves to hear himself talk and pontificating about everything and tweeting about everything. And then I think this story coming out by Fox is just kind of absurd when it's so far in advance. This guy could play two or three more years. So it's, yeah, but I think you're right. It certainly is in this era of media, social media, such great nonstop coverage. It's difficult, but I think if you're the right kind of person, you can still handle it and be more low key. But hey, quarterbacks have always been a little different. They're not all like what Wade Wilson was back in the day, or even Tommy Kramer, kind of fun loving, lower key guys that weren't trying to milk every second of media coverage. And Brady, unfortunately, is different now.
Wade Wilson was such a great guy. I didn't know Tommy Kramer. I never really got to know Tommy Kramer, but I got to know Wade Wilson really well. He was just fantastic to be around. By the way, this also, you were talking about Brady and all these massive egos, and some of them are robotic, some of them are egomaniacs. It makes Peyton Manning really stand out. And listen, I'm sure some of it is calculated, but you know, when Peyton Manning goes on TV or plays in a golf event or gets behind a mic on Monday Night Football, he's funny. And he's funny in a way that you can actually relate to. And the fact that he and Eli can sit there and give each other grief, and Eli usually wins those battles, whether it's calculation or whether it's just him, Peyton Manning comes off so well compared to most.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think part of that perhaps is his upbringing and Archie, his dad, who I know very well, and he played for us with the Vikings, and just a super guy. And I think a lot of Archie rubbed off on Peyton and Eli in terms of how to handle yourself and how to present yourself. And so I think you're absolutely right about Peyton. I think he does a great job of his persona. And I think Eli's like that too.
Yeah, I agree. I know a lot of people who covered both those guys, and they were good to be around on a daily basis for their teammates, for media, for everybody. All right, let's go back to the field. Tyrann Mathieu signs with the Saints. A heck of a player. Are there still good deals to be made out there? Are there still good players to be acquired? What do you do when you're the general manager at this juncture?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting time because you look at, for example, a team like the Vikings, they've got between something like $10 to $12 million of salary cap room, but have to understand that it's the top 51 players that count right now until the regular season. So when you budget in for adding another seven players on injured reserve and paying a practice squad, which is not big money, they've still got to budget some money, a couple million dollars in there, but they should have, say, $5 to $6 million of room to be able to go out and sign somebody if they want, and or they could dedicate that money towards paying some incentives after the season, whatever. But there are some good players out there, and some of these players are still unsigned because they haven't found the right deal. They think they're worth more money, that perhaps they're waiting until during training camp for a major injury to hit a team. And so you look at players such as Odell Beckham. Well, the assumption is he's going back to the Rams, but he's coming off that ACL he sustained in the Super Bowl. So he's not in a big hurry to sign necessarily. You've got James Bradbury, a really good veteran corner that was released, I think, by the Giants, and he's out there. Jadeveon Clowney, who has had a lot of injuries, but he's still an impact player, as the Vikings saw last October when he kind of wrecked their game. And you got Melvin Ingram, who's a good edge rusher, Jarvis Landry, a good receiver, some other good edge rushers, and, for example, Jerry Hughes and Trey Flowers. Julio Jones is out there, but they don't necessarily need a veteran injury-prone receiver. But could a, for example, an Akeem Hicks? He's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
He certainly was a Viking killer. Now, they seem to be okay at defensive tackle. Dante Hightower, a great linebacker from New England's out there. And Ndamukong Suh, you again assume he'll re-sign with Tampa Bay, but he hasn't done it yet. And even Justin Houston has been an impact edge rusher in his career. And if you put him in the mix as kind of a rotating guy, he could be a really impactful player, even at age 30 plus. So there are some really good players that are still out there. And what we call phase three of free agency, which is the after the draft period, when teams reassess their rosters, GMs and coaches take another look at the roster and say, hey, here's some place we think we might be able to get a little better. Maybe for the Vikings, it's another corner. Maybe Bradbury would be a guy that could interest them. And then they can bring along Andrew Booth a little slower and see how Cam Dantzler adjust the new coaching staff, because I still think Dantzler has talent, but as we saw in that Detroit game in Detroit last year, he can be a head case at times. And so, yeah, there's still some really good players out there. And I think Viking fans would certainly not be unhappy to see the Vikings make one more splash signing if they're so inclined. And I don't anticipate that happening, but we'll see. And meanwhile, the rookies are showing up this weekend at rookie camp, and that's kind of a fun time too for the teams, for the coaches, for the GM, to kind of unwrap those Christmas presents that come early and just see what you've got on the field. But the fact of the matter is, you really don't know about the rookies until you see them in training camp with the pads on, going against the veterans, and even in some preseason games, and then they'll really know if they can count on guys like Lewis Seen, the safety, first round pick, and Andrew Booth Jr., the corner, then the second round, Ed Ingram, the guard. Can these guys compete for starting jobs? Can they be ready to go week one against the Green Bay Packers? And we'll see about that. And I think that's what makes training camp kind of an interesting time, fun time. And as we watch those guys compete, but they will be out on the field this weekend, and I'll be out at minicamp next week checking them out.
So I think Seem's going to be a good player. You know, just everything I gather. I mean, that's just a guess, but that's my guess at this point. Booth, you know, if he's healthy, he should be a good player. Ingram's a really intriguing one. Obviously, had the sexual assault allegations that caused him to be suspended. Then they were dropped like a year and a half later. So we don't know what happened. It is troubling to me. And the Vikings really didn't explain how they vetted Ingram. So I'll ask you, how much research did you do on players' backgrounds if you thought that they had something questionable in their past, and you think the process has changed much over the years?
Yeah, I think it has. I think there's more resources to investigate, and certainly we did it in the past at the time with a player such as Randy Moss, for example, who had some character questions coming out in the 98 draft. And so we had done a lot of research on Randy, and we were fortunate that we had a scout, and I've told this story many times, a scout, Conrad Cardano, who had coached with the coaches at Marshall, knew them very well, and had the kind of the inside scoop that Randy had been no problem during his career at Marshall. He had the bad fight in high school that had racial overtones where he was protecting a friend, allegedly, and then he allegedly failed the two drug tests. Or the drug test that got him kicked out of Florida State and ends up at Marshall after Notre Dame had revoked his scholarship after that fight in high school. And so I think we did our vetting at the time. I think today it's even more so. The money's greater, the attention's greater, and there's more ability of the media to uncover bad things about players today. So you really got to make sure that you're doing your proper research. And yeah, and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah kind of sidestepped that issue with Ingram real quickly by saying, "Oh yeah, we did it. We checked it out. Yeah. Okay." And we'll see. But we'll see what kind of player he is, and he should have an opportunity for that right guard spot. So it's gonna be an interesting time with those high picks. I don't necessarily see a Randy Moss is going to walk in the door and knock your socks off as an impact player immediately. And we could see it back in 1998 in training camp that, wow, this guy is special. This guy is different. He is so fast and athletic. And even Robert Smith, when we drafted him in the first round in the early 90s, and you could see, wow, his speed was so explosive. And Louis Seen as the 32nd pick, I like him too. I like a lot of what I've seen about him and read about him and watched him a little bit, and Andrew Booth Jr., but still some question marks, especially with Booth and the injury. So all you can say is time will tell.
Yeah, I did find it interesting. The Dallas Cowboys, I think Stephen Jones held up like a draft sheet kind of jokingly, of course, in this day and age, somebody screen grabbed it and enhanced it and found out what their first round grades were on players. And I think they had Seen ranked as like the 13th to 14th best player in the draft. And I've heard that from some other people. So, hey, the Vikings very well might have gotten a gem and gotten him at a good value. We'll see. But I think he's the easiest person to be excited about from this draft class. We're going to come back, talk more about the Vikings roster, about rookie camp, about mini camp, and we'll continue to tell you exactly what's going to happen in the NFL schedule, because we know that we're just going to take all the suspense out of it for you and just tell you who's going to win all the games. Let's get a final thought from Jeff. Once again, thank you to White Bear Lake Superstore. Thanks to TSR Injury Law. Thanks to our producer, Breanne Burdett. And thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. All right, Jeff, final thought on anything you like.
Yeah, I think just circling back to the schedule, as I said, it's an exciting time when the schedule does come out and really creates a reality that the season's coming up. And as I said, I think the schedule plays out fairly well for the Vikings. They'll have an opportunity, I think, to get off 4-1. If you look at the start of the season, if they can split those first two games, which is no given, Green Bay and at Philadelphia, then they have Detroit here, New Orleans in London, and the Bears here. That's an opportunity to get off to a 4-1 start, which would be much better than what happened last year when they got off 0-2 and never could climb out of it. And they're going to need to get off to a decent start this year because they've got some tougher stretches, and especially that week, I think it's week 10 through 12 at Buffalo, Dallas here, New England on Thanksgiving, and that'll be fun too, a Thanksgiving night game. I'm not sure the fan base will love that necessarily, having to go to the stadium on Thanksgiving night, but I guess they'll have an earlier dinner. And then from a team executive standpoint, I love playing on Thanksgiving, Jim, because we got the weekend off, which is a rarity in the NFL.
That is a very good point. All right. Hey, good stuff from Jeff. Thanks, Brianne. Thank you for listening. Check out all the other shows, the outdoor content at TalkNorth.com, and we'll be back soon to tell you more about what's going on with the Vikings.